And if we could pattern our life after her, I believe that we would have a God-pleasing life. Her name is Mary, the sister of Lazarus. And turn your Bibles, if you will, to Luke chapter 10. I believe that the people who are listed in the Bible are not there by accident. I believe that God ordained many of them, or preordained them, to be in the Bible from the foundations of the world. But what better of a honor could your life and my life be than to be listed in the Bible? You know, think about that for just a minute. Think of how many people over the millennials of time have read God's Word and read people's names. And, you know, I think of Daniel or of David's mighty men. You know, many of them, we have no idea who they were, what they did, or anything else other than what's listed in the Bible. But yet they were listed because that's what God wanted. God wanted them to be remembered. And I believe that Mary is another one that God wanted to be listed in the Bible. And we're going to be looking at her life today a little bit and find out, you know, what made her to be a person that God would have wanted to be listed amongst the many in the Bible. But in Luke chapter 10 and verses 39, it says, "And she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word." Verse 42 of that same chapter, it says, "But one thing is needful, and Mary hath chosen the good part, which shall not be taken away from her." I believe that Mary had a teachable spirit. Mary wanted to know everything that she could about the Lord. You know, this was all new to them. They had never heard anyone speak with the authority that the Lord Jesus had spoke with. Mary was much like a sponge. You know, she wanted to hear everything that Jesus said and to learn as much as she possibly could from him. I believe that Mary had a teachable spirit in that she wanted to learn all she could from the one who could teach her. You know, can you imagine living back in that time period and being a friend of the Lord? You know, like Mary and Lazarus and Martha were. Martha was Mary's sister. And what we need to realize is that Mary had a very teachable spirit. And she wanted to learn everything that she could about what Jesus was saying. After all, nobody had ever heard any of this stuff before. I mean, he was expounding on the Old Testament like no one else had ever done. When he would talk, it was kind of like the commercial, when E.F. Hutton speaks, everyone listens. Well, that's the way it was with Jesus. When Jesus spoke, everyone wanted to hear what he said, including Mary. Mary had a teachable spirit. She wanted to be taught. She wanted to learn everything that she could about what the Lord was saying. You know, we need people in our churches just like that. We need people in our churches with a teachable spirit. You know, people who want to sit close to the Lord on Sunday mornings and Sunday evenings and Wednesday night, longing to learn more about what God has for their lives. You know, there's in the society we live in today with the millennials, they don't feel it's important to go to church. They don't feel it's important to take and read the Bible. They don't feel it's important to take and learn as much as they can about the Lord. Why? Because they don't have a teachable spirit. You know, many of them, believe it or not, never finish school. Why? Because they don't have a teachable spirit. You know, we need those who are not afraid to take the Bible to school and to read it during lunch or during study hall. We need those who want to get up in the morning and the first thing they do is open God's Word to see what He has to tell them for that day. We need those who will turn on a good Christian radio station and listen to good godly music and preaching all day long. I just got an email from Mark Lenentine. He's the assistant pastor of Gospel Light Baptist Church over in New Mexico. I think it's Bella Vista. I'm not sure. Yeah, I think it's Bella Vista. Anyway, they just had a teen conference. And the first night of the teen conference, they got up and they did songs. And he said, I don't know why, but he says, I just felt a real moving of the Holy Spirit. And he says, we went and we gave an invitation after the song service before the preaching. And he said, we had 50 kids come forward. 20 of them got saved before the preaching ever started. Yeah, listen, those kids had a preachable spirit. He said in the two-day teen conference that they had over 70 kids that got saved, and he said there was hundreds that turned their lives over to God. Listen, that's a teachable spirit. Those are kids that want to know the Word of God. Those are kids that want to do what God has in their lives. We need those who will turn their lives over to the Lord. Now, Mary could not get enough of what the Lord was teaching her. And she wanted to learn everything that she possibly could. You know, you know, Mary had a spirit that she wanted to know who this man was. She wanted to know everything about him. Even though Lazarus and Martha and her were good friends of the Lord, but she wanted to listen to every morsel of words that came out of his mouth, trying to take and grow spiritually. You know, we have way too many today who are too embarrassed to carry their Bible or talk to people about the Lord. You know, they're afraid of what people may say about them if they go to church more than one time a week. You know, we have too many, we're too busy to open our Bibles in the morning or at noon or at evening before bedtime. You know, these people have an unteachable spirit. You know, many in our society today are like Martha. You know, here we have Mary and Martha, and you've got Mary that sat down at Jesus' feet and listened to everything he had to say. And what was Martha doing? She was fixing food, trying to take and fill the spiritual need of those who were there, or that not the spiritual need, the physical need, instead of the spiritual need. Mary wanted her spiritual needs to be filled, not her physical needs. And we have way too many, I believe, today, even in our churches, that are like Martha. They're too worried about the physical aspect and not the spiritual aspect of people. And I believe we need people with a teachable spirit in our churches. If we had more people with a teachable spirit, I believe our churches would be full on Sunday mornings. I believe our churches would be full on Sunday nights. Why? Because people would want to come to church and they would want to listen to what the preacher has to preach about what God laid on his heart. This morning's message is going to be a little different message, but it's not the message that I had planned for today. I had one, I've got one all outlined and ready to go out of the book of Proverbs, and God led me in a different direction this week, and so you're going to see this morning. And that's what we need. We need people with a teachable spirit. We need somebody who's going to take and listen to what God has on their hearts and move that way. Not only that, but Mary was also a thoughtful person. Look at John chapter 11, verse 3. It's therefore his sister sent unto him, saying, Lord, behold, whom thou lovest is sick. Now, Lazarus, Mary's brother, was sick. They didn't know how sick he was at that time. However, I do believe that he was in bed and that he couldn't get out of bed. Now, Mary knew that Jesus could heal the sick. You know, I believe that Mary had seen Jesus just walk up and touch someone and they were healed just like that. I believe that Mary may have seen Jesus caused the blind to see. I believe that Jesus or that Mary may have seen the lame walk. I believe that Lazarus, Mary, and Martha were very close as brothers and sisters. And here we see her brother is sick, and she is trying to make him better. Mary wanted Lazarus to feel good. Mary didn't want Lazarus to be sick. She didn't want him to be in bed. She didn't want him to take and go through an illness. She wanted him to be better. And what did she do? She sent for the Lord to come and heal her brother, not really thinking about herself. And you know, we need people in our churches who are thoughtful. We have way too many people today who think only of themselves and not are thoughtful of others. You know, they want to see what they can get out of life, and everything is for me and not anybody else. You know, we need people in our church who will give the shirt off their back, so to speak, to someone else. You know, in our society today, the attitude is more me, 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 me than you, 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 you. And I mean, that's the way it is. People today are so self-centered that they think of themselves rather than the people around them. But here we see Mary. She loves her brother. She loves her other sister. And she didn't want anything bad to happen to any of them. And what does she do? She sends to the only one she knew that could possibly heal him. More than likely, they may have had a physician come in and look at him. And the physician may have said, well, you know what? There's nothing we can do. He may have had an incurable disease in those days, and the physician may have looked at him and they said, well, you know, there's nothing we can do. Not a thing. So Mary was concerned for Lazarus, and she sent for the only one. She sent for the great healer. She sent for the Lord Jesus to come and to heal her brother. Not only that, but Mary was also compassionate. Luke chapter 11, verses 32 and 33, it says, then when Mary was come where Jesus was and saw him, she fell down at his feet, saying unto him, Lord, if thou hast been here, my brother had not died. But Jesus therefore saw her weeping, and the Jews also weeping, which came with her. He groaned in his spirit and was troubled. Here we see that Lazarus now had died from his illness. There was nothing else anybody else could do for him. He was overcome with the illness that he had, and he died. Not only did he die, but he was buried in a tomb, and the stone was rolled in front of the door of the tomb. And Jesus came to the town where Mary and Martha lived, and he came for a specific purpose. Now, Mary had a compassionate heart. She grieved for her brother. You know, in the previous verses, if we read those, you'll see that the people of the area were comforting Mary and Martha because of the death of their brother. Now we see her falling at the feet of Jesus, weeping over the death of not only her brother, but also of one of Jesus' closest friends. Now, Mary had compassionate heart, even though she had just lost her brother. She fell at the feet of Jesus and worshipped in a prostrate position. Now, Mary had no idea what was going to happen. You know, let's face it. Here's Mary. She had just lost her brother. They had just buried him. And what did she say? If you would have only been here, he wouldn't have died. She believed that Jesus, just by being there, could have saved Lazarus. Now, here we see that she also had compassion for her dead brother weighed heavy on the Lord. You know, when he saw her weeping, he groaned in his own spirit, and it caused him to be grief-ridden by the compassion which she had for her brother. Now, I don't know about you, but I know that if I would have been Mary, I would have wept for my brother. And if I would have known someone that could have helped them, and they came late, so to speak, after they had died, I may not have had a real compassionate heart towards them. I don't know about you, but I may not have. After all, she loved her brother. She knew that Jesus could have healed him. She knew if he wouldn't have taken so long to get there, everything would be fine. But yet she still had a compassionate heart. She went up to Jesus and fell down and worshiped him. And said, Lord, if you would have only been here, my brother wouldn't have died. Now, with her compassion, you know, Jesus had compassion for her. He could feel the sadness in her heart. He could feel the sadness that she had in her soul because of the loss of her brother. If you go back to previous verses, you'll see when Jesus told the disciples, we need to go and see Lazarus. And because Lazarus is sick, and they said, well, you know, he'll overcome what he's sick from. And he goes, no, you don't understand. Lazarus is dead. He's dead. We need to go see them. And that's why they came. You know, we need people in our churches with compassion. We need people who, when they see someone else hurting, will have compassion on them and try to comfort them. You know, we have too many in our society today who do not have any compassion for anyone. If someone is going through a hard time, they say, well, they'll get through it on their own. You know, why should I help them go through a real bad time in their life? After all, I have enough to worry about in my own life without having to worry about them. You know, I have way too many things in my own life that I need to worry about without having to help them go through some tragedy that they have. You know, if someone has a heartache, they feel they should be able to get through it on their own. You know, as I was doing this lesson, I got to thinking about this police officer that was killed this last week up in Phoenix, the trooper. And I got to thinking about that, and I'm thinking, man, you know, so young, just got out of the academy, was on his last ride-along, the last ride-along that he would have done, and he would have been out on his own. And then something like that happened. You know, I look at the, and I heard people on the street talking about that, and they say, well, that's just a good start. You know, one officer dying, that's just a good start. And I'm thinking to myself, well, if you are in a bad situation, who do you call? 911. You know, if someone's breaking into your house, who do you call? You don't call your friends to come over and have a party. You don't call your neighbors to come over. You call 911. You rely on those who you feel you hate. And this guy looked at me and he said, well, he says, that's what they're getting paid for. I said, no, they're getting paid to protect. Yes, sir. Never, or never go to church. Yeah. Oh, I know it. You know, you have no idea how many times I get phone calls. And Brother Echols can know just what I'm talking about. You get a phone call from somebody and go, oh, can you pray for my husband? Or can you pray for my daughter? You can, because they're in the hospital and this and that. And I go, yeah, I'll pray for them. But it might have been a year since they'd been in church. We had a lady this last week that was in here, wanted some food, and was talking to somebody, and they said, well, this is my church. This is my church. Pastor Storm is my pastor. I know for a fact that she has not darkened the doors of this church in 6 years. Never been here. Ever. In 6 years. And I think she's only here twice then. But yet this is her church. I'm her pastor. Why? Because this is the last place she had been in to worship God. You know, we had a guy that works in the food bank. And I'd given him a hat that said Florence Baptist Church on it. And one day there was a knock on his door. And he went to the door and he had that hat on. And these two guys in white shirts were standing there with ties with little name tags on. And he looked at him and he says, "Can I help you?" And they looked up at his hat and they go, "Oh, you go to Florence Baptist Church?" He goes, "Yeah." And they go, "Oh, okay, well, you have a good day." And they turned around and walked away. And he said to me, he says, "If I would have known it was that easy to get rid of them, that," he says, "I'd have done that years ago." I said, "Well, why don't you come to church and find out what it's all about?" You know, you have no idea, none, zero, how many people call this church their church home but never come to church. I mean, I can list hundreds, believe it or not, hundreds. I just did a funeral not too awful long ago for a lady that they called and they said, "Well, we'd like to have you do this funeral for this lady." And I said, "Okay." And they go, "Well, don't you remember who she is?" And I said, "Well, the name is kind of familiar." I said, "Send me her picture so I can see what it looks like." And they did, and I'm going, yeah, she was here probably 10 years ago. You know, and I thought she just moved away and, you know, we lost, you know, track of her and things like that. Well, so they called and they wanted to know, you know, about the service and things like that. And I said to them, I said, "Doesn't she have a church home?" They said, "Well, yeah, you. Florence Baptist Church is her church home." And I'm going, "Really?" And she goes, "Yeah." I said, "Well, she hasn't been here for 10 years. "Well, that was the last place she went to church." But you have no idea. I mean, I could give you a list of probably 200 people in this area that call Florence Baptist Church their church home who never come to church. There's people in Coolidge. You go up, you knock on the door. I went up to some people's house one day and I knocked on the door. And they came to the door and I said, "Well, do you go to church?" They go, "Yeah." I said, "Oh, where do you go?" I never told them where I was from. And they said, "Well, we go to Florence Baptist Church." I said, "Oh, really?" They go, "Yeah." "Oh, man, we just love it over there. We love the pastor. We love the singing. We love the..." I said, "Oh, really?" I said, "Well, I heard that that pastor is really a grumpy old guy. That he just preaches nothing but hellfire and brimstone every single Sunday. He beats on the pulpit. He yells and screams." And he goes, "Well, yeah, he does get a little loud once in a while." And, I mean, I was just really, really laying it on. And finally, I went and I looked at this lady and I said, "Let me introduce myself. My name is Pastor Dale Storm. I'm the pastor of Florence Baptist Church." She looked at me and she goes, "Did you just take over the church?" I said, "I've been there for 15 years. I started the church. There's been no other pastor other than me." I said, "I don't know what church you're going to, lady, but it sure isn't that one." Boy, she turned white as a ghost. I thought she was going to have a heart attack. Huh? No, she wasn't going to any church. None. She came to the food bank a couple times. And it's amazing how many people that come to the food bank that think this is their church just so they come to the food bank. It's amazing. You know, what we need to realize is that we need people with compassionate hearts. Yeah, it's good to have the food bank. It's good to have different things like that and help people out. But people have got to realize there's a two-way street. They have to love, and they have to take and have the love that they should for the Lord. But you know, she also gave all she had to the Lord. Turn your Bibles to John chapter 12. Verse 3, it says, "Then took Mary a pound of ointment of spikenard, very costly, and anointed the feet of Jesus, and wiped his feet with her hair, and the house was filled with the odor of the ointment." Here we see that Mary giving back to Jesus all that she personally had. She had enough love and compassion for the Lord that she was willing to give back to him all she had. You know, we see this was a very expensive ointment. In John chapter 12, verse 5, it says, Why was this ointment sold for 300 pence and given to the poor? Now, as we know, that was Judas Iscariot who said that. And he says, why was it that you didn't sell that and give me the money, and we could have gave it to the poor? All he wanted to do was carry the money around. That's all he wanted. You know, in today's money, that would probably be somewhere between $500 and $600. $500 and $600 is what that ointment would cost. In those days, it was very, very costly. Jesus was here on the earth. You know, the woman would save and buy some of the most expensive perfumes they could, and because they wanted to take and make themselves smell good for their future husbands. They didn't want a bunch of B.O., amen? You know, instead of using Arid, they used expensive ointment. Now, more than likely, Mary had saved for a long time and was able to take and buy this 1 pound of perfume for herself. She may have had some very special occasions that she wanted to use this special perfume for. You know, Mary had nothing else that she could give to the Lord, and she gave of her most precious possessions to the Lord. You know, notice she did not do as many of us probably would do today and only use part of it. Do you notice that? She didn't just use a little bit. She didn't just say, take her finger and dab it on his feet. She poured the whole thing on there. She poured all of that ointment on his feet. You know, she could have dipped her finger in and placed just a dab here and there and said, okay, now this is your portion, the rest of it is mine. She could have just placed a little bit on his feet. After all, he was only going to take and get his feet dirty walking again anyway, right? Why would I want to spend $500 or $600 putting an ointment on a person's feet? They're going to be out in the dirt. Amen? After all, they wore sandals. They didn't wear socks, you know. Now, you know, Mary was not selfish. She gave the Lord everything that she had, the most precious things in her life she gave to the Lord. You know, we need people who are not afraid to give the Lord what they have and are not to give him the best that they have. You know, we have way too many Christians, or so-called Christians today, who feel it's okay to give the Lord second best. Well, I'll give him whatever's left over. You know, I'll give him the leftovers. I'm not going to give him the first fruits. I'm going to give him whatever I've left over at the end of the month. You know, we give God what we feel he deserves. Instead, we should give him the best of our time, talents, tithes, and testimonies. You know, Mary gave, even though she could have kept back some of it for herself. But Mary gave everything that she had to the Lord. She was not selfish in any way, shape, or form. You know, I was listening on the news the other day, and they were talking about the millennials. And what is important in millennials' lives? Nothing is important in their lives other than their own personal pleasure and entertainment. They said that the nightclubs and stuff are making the most money that they have ever made because of the millennials. A millennial would rather go out and party than they would do anything else, because they feel they need the camaraderie, so to speak, with everybody else. And you know what? I saw this Friday night. I was watching our teenagers. And now, most teenagers today, what do? They text all the time, don't they? They text constantly. They're always, you a teenager? They're always texting, constantly, just constantly texting. They have no personal interaction with people. It's all electronic. Everything is electronic. And I saw something Friday night that it didn't register with me right away until after the after Tug. And the teenagers weren't real interested in the movie we were watching. They were more interested in a personal relationship, talking eyeball to eyeball with the people that they had been texting with for the last 2 weeks and had not seen. They were more interested in having a personal relationship with someone rather than being it electronic. That told me something. That told me that, you know what, it doesn't make any difference how much of this you have. People still long to have that personal relationship one-on-one instead of doing it on a cell phone. And so, you know what, I just let them talk for a while. I did. I just wanted them to be able to take and have a conversation with each other so that they knew what a conversation was all about instead of going, "Hi, how you doing?" and misspelling all the words. You know what I mean? Because then a person knows how intellectual you really aren't. You know what I mean? If you're doing it one-on-one. And it was really interesting. I took the kids home. I said, "Well," I said, "did you have a good time?" "Yeah, we had a really good time. And thank you so much for just allowing us to have time to talk." Well, people need that time. You know, it's one thing to have this communications here, but it's also something that is needed to have a one-on-one conversation. You know, I'm not much of a texter. Some of you already found that out. But anyway, I would rather talk to somebody on the phone or face-to-face than I would electronically. I mean, that's just the way I am. I guess I'm old-fashioned. I don't know. But there's a lot of things by talking to a person one-on-one, personally, that you can get out of a person more than you can by texting. You know, Brother Echoes, you tell me if I'm wrong. When you're talking with somebody one-on-one, do you look at their body language? Yeah. How can you look at a person's body language on here? You can't. You can tell by talking to a person if they're sad, if they're happy, if they're whatever. I mean, you know, it's okay to take and be texting somebody and then have that little smiley face. You know what I mean? Or have one with a frown or tears or whatever. You know what I mean? But what does that mean? You know, I look at those things and I'm going, huh? What does that mean? You know what I mean? I'm not very, what are they called? Those little smiley faces? They're called something. Anyway, I'm not very savvy in that stuff. I'm really not. Huh? Yeah, whatever it is. Anyway, but It's amazing because all of a sudden somebody will text me and they'll have all these little things on there, and I'm going, wonder what that means. What are they? Yeah. Anyway, I'll text them back. I'll go, would you mind speaking English to me? Because I said, I have no idea what these things mean. And then they'll have a big, long text trying to explain to me what they all mean. Goes in one eye and out the other one. You know what I mean? I mean, I could care less, you know. If you want to talk to me, talk to me. I mean, I'm around. But, you know, each of us can take a lesson from Mary's life. You know, she had a teachable spirit. She was thoughtful. She was compassionate. And she gave all that she had to the Lord. You know, if we would do as she did in our Christian lives, we could make a much different impression on those that we're around than I think many times we do. And I believe that if we could have that teachable spirit, be thoughtful, be compassionate, and if we can give everything that we have back to God, I guarantee that we're going to take and we're going to have a spirit that's going to be Christ-centered, and it's going to be for His honor and His glory. Let's have a word of prayer. Father, thank You so much for today. We thank You for all that You've done for us. I pray now that You'll guide and direct in the service to follow. We thank You for loving us so much. We pray now that You'll continue to guide and direct us. Be with us now, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, we're going to start church in about 10 minutes.